Hey, everybody, it's time for Puck Spins, Two Guys, One Puck on today's show. Yeah, I got it right. On today's show, we're going to do a preview of the World Cup of Hockey. All eight teams will go through each one of them, tell you our picks of who's going to win at the very end. Coming up next right here, Two Guys, One Puck. This is Puck Spins, Two Guys, One Puck podcast, originally recorded August 22nd, 2016. Two Men, One Cup is brought to you by PacificRink.com, makers of fine hockey apparel and equipment. Get 20% off by using coupon code PUCKSPIN at checkout at PacificRink.com. We're here, Scott and Jonathan. Welcome, everybody, to Two Guys, One Puck. I'm reading the title right on the screen. Make sure I get that.
That's right, Craig. Right. You got to get the name right. We're not two men, one. I like the final edit last week, but you really got to get the show's name right. You are an executive producer and co-host. So as one of the guys, yeah. You know, let's get it right. Two Guys, One Puck, August 23rd. Yeah. 22nd. I don't even know what day it is. It's the 22nd, isn't it?
20
all day.
All day long. Wow. Day of 22nd.
I'm already on tomorrow. I'm that far ahead of everybody.
At least I'm not saying two girls, one cup.
Yeah, we could not put a link to that video on our website. Not at all. I don't think Puckspin would like it. I don't think Facebook would like it.
And Jonathan, Scott, I will admit, as I was doing the edits last week when I was doing some intros, I kept saying two guys, one cup. So I don't know if what do broadcasters call that, Jonathan? Is that like a crutch? What is that? Or what is that? And I can't get it out of my head.
Yeah, we're calling that a faux pas. Okay. Freudian slip.
Freudian slip. You wanted to watch a different video, Craig? That's not my bag. That's not my cup of tea, but.
Moving on. Anyway, go ahead, Scott.
All right. We're back. We're live. Two guys, one puck. Craig Lukey, Scott Zweibel, and our back again guest, Jonathan Davis from Sirius XM, Mr. West Coast Hockey, the two-man advantage on Sirius XM. Good to have you back, JD.
Nice to be back, guys. Always a pleasure.
We appreciated your banter last week and kind of have a few topics to touch back on. First of all, being the World Cup, really took to heart what you had to say last week, JD, about Canada's roster and how stacked they are. And took a long look at some of the articles on Puckspin, some of the content on NHL.com, TSN, talking about where the teams stack for that eight-team tournament. And, you know, I'm pretty much going to change my opinion and say, yeah, Canada probably is the most stacked team. It's not Russia. But I want to talk more about the goalies this week. You know, who's going to be the starting goalies? Who's in the tournament? And why not start with our friends, the Great White North? Let's talk about Canada, Braden Holtby, Corey Crawford, and Mr. Healthy, Carey Price. JD, what do you think?
You know, I think that it's really a toss-up between Braden Holtby and Carey Price. And everything comes down to the health of Carey Price. You can't minimize what Braden Holtby did last season. The numbers were through the roof. And you know, maybe it's a situation where they go back and forth. I just don't think that, you know, you lose a lot. And you know, for Corey Crawford to be number three, that's some pretty elite company in that Canada's got to try to find one net for. We're talking about two guys and one puck. They've got three goalies and only one net to play with. So it's going to be interesting to see. I think Crawford is third in the pecking order, and it's really a coin flip between Braden Holtby and Carey Price.
I think that's a pretty good assessment. From the heart, I'd like to see Holtby get the nod first. You know, he was healthy all last year. His numbers were amazing. You know, not a knock on Corey Crawford, but I think he's a way down the depth chart third compared to what a healthy Carey Price can do and what a, you know, motivated and skilled Braden Holtby can do. So I think that's going to be an interesting net to watch the presence. I think we'll see a lot of maybe Price in the preliminary warm-up games, see how he's doing, and, you know, they'll run right to Holtby if they need it. But Let's shift over to Team North America. Some interesting talent there.
Scott, I do want to say one thing. Scott, I'm so sorry.
Sure,
just
no
one
worries.
Thing. You know, regardless of who's playing net, I mean, you know, just like it was for Canada in the Olympics, when you take a look at the roster that that goalie's got in front of him on the back end with Brent Burns and Doughty and Keith and Muzz and Peter Angelo, Vlasic and Shea Weber, I'm not sure how much rubber they actually end up seeing no matter who's in net. It's a pretty strong group of eight, to say the least.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, the defense on Canada's side is just outstanding. I mean, you take the suite of work of Brent Burns last year, the minutes that Doughty racks up, you know, the type of physicality of Muzzin, the puck moving of Duncan Keith. You know, you're right. I mean, Canada might not see that much rubber. And, you know, I'm interested to see how Shea Weber clicks with Carey Price. I mean, I think it's going to be a good little exhibition for them to get used to each other. Good point.
Yeah, I think that that's something that if I recall though, they did play together in the last Olympics. So I think that there is some familiarity between the two already. But it's a great problem for Canada to have, and we'll see what happens in about 6 weeks with who ends up starting in goal.
Yeah, it's gonna be a strong squad. Let's shift over to North America. What do you think's the strong folks between John Gibson from the Ducks, Connor Hellebuck from Winnipeg, or Matt Murray, who had an amazing run at the end of last year? I mean, all the way to the Stanley Cup, supplanting Marc-Andre Fleury with the Penguins. What are your thoughts?
Well, I think that it's Matt Murray's job to lose, and then it's really a fight between John Gibson and Connor Hellebuck. I was most impressed with the way Hellebuck played in Winnipeg. He just, you know, he didn't have that same group in front of him that either Murray did or John Gibson. So I think that, you know, I don't think we really got to see everything that Connor Hellebuck has to offer. But I think the job is Matt Murray's, and then it's really a battle of who's number two between Hellebuck and Gibson.
I'm actually going to dissent from you on that one. I think it's Gibby's job first. You know, the Ducks struggled getting out of the gate last year, and he kept them in some, you know, pretty awfully played games by Perry and Getzlaff, and the guys in front of him, you know, was like almost a revolving door with some injuries at the beginning of the year. So I think Gibson gets the nod over top of Hellebuck and Matt Murray. Matt Murray came on late. He was a late bloomer last season. He really, you know, shouldn't have been in the position he was in, and I think he's got great talent. I think he's going to develop into a number one goaltender in the NHL. I just not 100% sure if in this, you know, quick shot tournament, if it's his net to have over top of a guy who's established himself like John Gibson has.
Yeah, I think the jury's still out in my opinion on John Gibson. I know he's been given the job in Anaheim. He is the number one right now, but his big issue has always been staying healthy. He's never shouldered the load. We saw the job that Matt Murray did in the pressure situations of the Stanley Cup playoffs and the Stanley Cup finals. So, we've got 6 weeks to see what happens. But I think that the job that Matt Murray did in this run, kind of like what you were talking about with Braden Holtby earlier, the season that he had, I think Matt Murray's finish gives him a slight edge as the number one, at least going into camp. And then, you know, it's up for grabs after that.
Yeah, I mean, it's all a momentum thing with hockey, I guess. And, you know, he had a great finish to the season. You notice that the Penguins weren't able to deal away Marc-Andre Fleury. Fleury's coming out in the media firing bullets at Matt Murray saying, hey, you know, I'm winning my net back this year. I think there's going to be some rivalry there. I think there's going to be some blood going on. And, you know, maybe Murray shows it off in the World Cup tournament. But, you know, in Anaheim, it's a completely different story. I mean, Frederik Andersen's gone. He was dealt away. He's a starter somewhere else, and the net's all for Gibson. I think he's more relaxed. I think he's got a little bit more.
I hope John Gibson's not any more relaxed than that. If that guy's any more relaxed, he may fall asleep, guys.
That's true.
He is one of the calmest, softest spoken people I've ever been around. Hey, look. His issue has always been being able to stay healthy, and we'll see what happens when he gets to shoulder the load this year.
Now,
yeah,
Scott,
I don't think he's, yeah, what's up, sorry. Craig?
No,
go for it.
I thought you were getting ready to go to Team USA because I was going to ask the major average Joe question about Team North America.
Poke the North America question. Go for it.
This is for the average listener. You have Team Canada, Team North America, Team USA. Explain why there's a Team North America.
They wanted 8 teams in the tournament this time around, and the rosters were too large. The last World Cup, people complained about ice time. People complained about who was included. And they felt that with the talent pool in the NHL, that it was enough players to field both a USA team and a Canada team and a North America team and a Sweden team, a Czech Republic team, a Finland team, a Russia team, and a Team Europe this year too. So all the cast-offs who couldn't make the Canada or USA roster are combined in North America, and the same goes for Europe. I like the idea because it gives guys an edge. It gives guys bite. You know, hey, I was overlooked to represent Canada. Well, you know what? I'm playing for North America, so guess what? I'm coming after you.
So there's not enough players from some of the other former Russian bloc countries, right?
Guys, you got to also remember though, the Team North America is the 23 and under team. So that's the discerning factor of why this roster is made up the way it is. You know, this allowed, you know, too many, you know, we've had too many young stars that have not, you know, been passed over because they're young stars. And, you know, yes, we wanted to have 8 teams and this is a way to help us get to 8. But I think that, you know, the way the league is going to showcase this group of 23 and under stars, it's going to be interesting. They're definitely, it's a pretty strong roster. The thing that would be tough for me though, is, you know, what anthem do they play when they win a game?
Yeah.
That's what a flag? Really, I don't know. Yeah. I think they should go with Song 2 by Blur as their national anthem. Woohoo! You know, that's a good hockey song. That's a good goal song. It could be their national anthem. You know, JD, I think they've got a decent roster. Jonathan Drouin, Jack Eichel, Dylan Larkin, Connor McDavid. But you're also going to see some guys out there that, you know, aren't necessarily ready yet. The Austin Matthews of the world, you know, I don't know if they're going to be that strong.
Yeah, I think Austin Matthews is ready, guys. Austin's played, he played in a man's league. Granted, it was not the NHL, but he did play in a man's league. You talk to players around the league who've had a chance to skate with him. I don't think there's any concern with Austin Matthews being able to, you know, he'll step right into Toronto this coming season, you know, as that number one center. I think, you know, agents had told me last year that, hey, if Austin Matthews was draft eligible for the McDavid draft, that it was going to be a pretty tough decision of who would have gone first. I'm hearing guys really rave about the talents of Austin Matthews.
Wow. Well, I can't wait to see him play. What do you think about the defense in North America there, JD, while we're on the subject?
Well, I mean, you've got Ekblad and the Ghost, Shane Gostisbehere and Seth Jones. So that's three pretty decent guys back there, along with, you know, Colton Parayko and Jacob Trouba and Morgan Rielly. So it's definitely a mobile back end. You've got some, you know, Norris Trophy candidates back there. It's solid. Is it as good as Canada? No, but it's definitely something to be. They're not chopped liver either. So it is a solid group. I think that they can definitely hold their own.
What's the situation with Trouba being an RFA still? I mean, Winnipeg hasn't made much moves to get him under contract. Or are they going to be holding their breath when he's out there? I mean,
no, I don't think so, because no one's going to sign him to an offer sheet. So, you know, push comes to shove, the guy's going to be, he'll be back in Winnipeg, and they've got control over him. And so it's really a matter of, you know, what Jacob Trouba decides, you know what, I'm going to sign a short-term deal and that's it. And then I'll get my big contract, you know, a year or two from now. But, you know, this is a guy that I think is maxed out at 30 points. he may have a bright future, but that 2012 draft that he was a part of really has not flourished like, let's say, the 2010 draft.
True. True. All right. Well,
Team USA.
Team USA, guys. Here we are. We got Ben Bishop, Jonathan Quick, Corey Schneider. I say give the net to Corey Schneider until otherwise he fails. There's my 2 cents.
That's all you're offering?
That's all I'm offering. I don't think Quick had a good enough season last year. I think he needs to bounce back a little bit. You know, he wasn't as strong as he was in Stanley Cup years past. Bishop, I mean, he may not even end up staying in Tampa. Vasilevsky supplanted him. And you got Corey Schneider, who's a workhorse. I say go to Corey Schneider.
Well, I go with the guy that's got two Stanley Cups and a Conn Smythe trophy. I think that, you know, when it comes to a big game, you know, I've got the faith in Jonathan Quick. But Corey Schneider, I will say, was my dark horse for the Vezina last year when I was making my preseason predictions. I'm a big fan of Corey Schneider, but this is a guy that really has not had to play in big games. He hasn't had that. And Jonathan Quick has, and I think for the most part has risen to the occasion. You know, last season in Los Angeles, you know, the Kings did have what they were number one in goals against going into that final weekend. I thought Jonathan Quick, maybe he didn't have the years of 2012 and 14, but I thought he still had an excellent year. And in the case of Ben Bishop, again, you know, I think he's not a distant third, but I think he's number three. In my pecking order, although his numbers as well, guys, I think he's underrated or underappreciated for the numbers that he has put up for a Tampa team that always contends.
Well, you know, Bishop was in line for the Vezina last year too. So, I mean, his numbers are outstanding. His compete level is outstanding. What Tampa's been able to do has just been outstanding. So, I mean, this is a hard choice, but I mean, I really think it's going to be Schneider, Bishop, and then Quick. I mean, we got a real conundrum on our hands here, JD, where we disagree. You know, I like the defense a lot on Team USA. You got Captain America, John Carlson. Anyone who knows anything about hockey remembers his World Junior no-look goal. I mean, that's one of the greatest goals in American hockey history right there. Eric Johnson, Jack Johnson, Ryan McDonough, Matty Niskanen from the Washington Capitals, Ryan Suter, and Big Buff. I mean, that's a damn fine defense in front of these guys.
Yeah, it's okay. It's funny, though. You know, we talk about Jack Johnson, who doesn't have a team right now. Actually, I'm sorry. He's going in. He got a PTO. He's one of nine guys that's going into camp this year on a PTO. And here he is, a member of Team USA's roster, which to me is a little bit ironic. But yeah, hey, look, you know, with Suter and Niskanen and McDonough, Big Buff and John Carlson, who I think is a guy that should always be in that Norris Trophy conversation. It's definitely a defense that I would say ranks number two behind Canada.
I would agree with you on that. Hey, we agree on something. Hey, Craig, do we have any questions from the net while we take a quick break in our analysis?
George Fasikas, my brother.
Big George.
He says he don't think they'll win, but I like North America's team. There's a ton of youth and speed on that team. So, there you go.
Sounds good. Way to go, George. Welcome to the show. All right, let's pour back into it. I want to talk about Team Europe. I want to talk about Freddie Anderson. I want to talk about Thomas Greiss. I want to talk about Mr. Halak. I think Halak's got the net. Halak and Anderson, I don't know. You're getting a lot of the same out of those two guys. I don't know about Greiss so much, but I like Halak. I think he's a big game goalie. JD?
Yeah, you know, I'm kind of got some mixed feelings about Yaro Halak. You know, he had a good season in Brooklyn before getting hurt and Greiss taking over. But, you know, I think Freddie's a guy that is also underappreciated. And it wouldn't shock me to see him be the starter for Team Europe. I like what Freddie has done. And I just think that, you know, you've got three guys that this is not necessarily the weakest of the trio in net, but I think that these are guys that definitely rank a step below both Canada and Team USA.
What do you think about the European roster? I mean, they've got some super strong players, your Kopitars of the world, your Thomas Vanek, Gaborik, and then you've got some...
Did you just put Strong and Vanek in the same sentence? You really didn't do that, did you? That was...
I mean, the guy can shoot the puck. I mean, maybe he's not a two-way player. Maybe he's not the greatest team player.
He's not even a one-way player.
Okay. He's lost a little bit.
No,
he could still score on me if he was shooting
on
me.
Well, he could, yes, Scott. He could score on you. But I Thomas Vanek, to me, especially when the stage gets big, is a guy that's disappeared. What a bust he's been. The fact that he had to get bought out by the Minnesota Wild. He had a chance. He went home to Minnesota. It didn't work out for him. You know, you look back at when he was in Montreal, when he got traded from the Island, it didn't work out there. His performance at the Olympics was extremely disappointing. Look, you've got some decent players with Gaborik and Kopitar and Tatar, Zuccarello. So yeah, there are some decent guys up front, but man, when you look at that defense and the first two names, and granted these are done alphabetically, but Chara and Erhoff. And then you get Seidenberg.
And don't forget Spezza's on there too. He's terrifying.
And Lucas Spezza. Good man, Lucas Spezza. But you know, look, yes, you know, Roman Josi is the leader back there, but this is a defense that is old. And I think that especially against that under 23 team, Team North America, is going to be doing a lot of chasing.
I think Freddie Anderson and Thomas Greiss and Jaro Halak are going to see more rubber than the Olympic Village in the last couple of weeks. But, you know, they don't have a great team in front of them.
Can you say that line one more time?
See a lot more rubber than the Olympic Village. What?
I'm going to put that on a t-shirt and sell that.
They got 42 rubbers to use, every single athlete. I don't know anyone that could use 42 rubbers in 2 weeks. I mean, none of them are my friends, but hey.
Hey, Jonathan, real quick, out of curiosity.
Yeah, how do you know the exact number, Scott?
Because I was watching the show when they were talking about what's in the gift bag for every athlete.
I'll tell you, though, the team that's...
Good. Hey, Jonathan, I have a quick question for you. Your comments about Team Europe, do you already know what the Vegas lines are on the entire World Cup?
I don't. I haven't. You know what? I haven't checked it out. As we get closer to the event, it's something that I'll pay attention to. But
I'll mention it at the end. I was just curious by your comments and what Scott already said. He does not know. I have the lines right here. So
I didn't want to see them because A, they're going to change. And absolutely. B, I didn't want it to taint what I felt going into our Puck Spin tournament. We're going to have that bracket tournament for the World Cup. And I don't want it to ruin my thoughts, you know?
Okay.
It's bad enough JD is making me question my thoughts on Russia. It's bad enough Thomas Vanek is horrible. You know, poor guy isn't worth a bag of pucks these days. But now I have to know the Vegas lines too. I mean, I want to have an unbiased opinion, Craig.
All right. We got 8 minutes left. Team Sweden.
Team Sweden. Svenska. Strong team. Henrik the King Lundqvist in net, Jakob Markstrom backing him up, Robin Lehner somewhere in two or three. I don't think there's any question that the King gets the goal. JD, go.
Yeah, if he's not getting the goal for every game, then Sweden's got big problems. Then that means that they've really crapped their pants and they're done. So yeah, you've got with Backstrom and Eriksson and Forsberg and Haglund, Landeskog of the Sedin twins, it's a pretty talented team. And we can't forget Zetterberg. Do we have shootouts in the World Cup? Because I see they do have Jakob Silverberg on that roster. Yeah. So, the king of the shootout. Decent back end with Ekholm and Ekman Larson and Hedman and Charmelson, Carlson. Strahlin and Cronwell. So actually, you know, they may actually have the number two or maybe even number one defense. That's a pretty impressive group back there for Team Sweden. But I think that Henrik is going to enjoy playing behind that group because, man, that's a huge step up from what he got to see in with the Rangers this season. That was just a sorry bunch back there.
Yeah, you know, Henrik's going to have a lot more fun playing for country and the Trey Kroner. But, you know, as much as Silverberg or anyone else might be king of the shootout, I'm sorry, the king of the shootout plays for Team USA. That's TJ Oshie. We all know who Mr. Shootout is. Let's not change any nicknames, JD. All right, but I do like the Sweden team. I think they're up in the finals. I think they're competing. You know, they got a damn good roster, and there's just no holes to poke in it. I mean, maybe Zetterberg's age or Soderberg. I mean, who won't see that much ice? But Landeskog, amazing. You know, Patrick Hornquist had a great playoffs. Hagelin came on in the playoffs for Pittsburgh. Philip Forsberg, I mean, he's one of the best young talents in the NHL. Thank you very much, George McPhee. yeah, I'm still never going to get over that trade, guys. All right, so we got 5 minutes left. Team Russia. Bobrovsky, Varley, Vasilevsky. Say that 10 times fast, and Gary Bettman will haunt your dreams. I'm going with Vasilevsky, Varley, and Bob.
Yeah, you know, and I think that this trio back here, I think are more of streaky goalies than anything. I'm not sold. That may be, you know, the weak link in some respects, I think, with Team Russia, is that if any of these guys can get on a hot streak, then they've got a chance. But there's definitely some holes back there, I think, with Team Russia. Not as bad as the Czech Republic, we'll get to a little later, but this could be, I don't think their goaltending matches up with USA, Sweden, and Canada.
Not even close. I agree with you. But I know the best part about watching Team Russia play in the World Cup is going to be the drinking game. When an Ov touches the puck, you got to drink Anisimov, Dadanov, Kucherov, Kuznetsov, mm-hmm. Namestnikov, you know. Just start singing the song and just taking the vodka shots. I'm going to love it. We'll all be completely sauced by the end of the first period. But you know what? All things aside, I know you don't like Team Russia, JD. I actually think their D is not bad at all. Emelin, Kulikov. Well,
you know, their defense also, you know, that's, I think.
Go for it.
I mean, you know, to me, it's a bunch of twos and threes than ones. When you look at that defense with Emelin and Kulikov and Marchenko and Alexei Markov and Orlov, those are twos and threes, and I think closer to threes than they are twos on your roster. So I think the big problem for Russia will be from the blue line back.
All right, I will take that and agree with you. We'll move on to Czech Republic because there's a couple other topics we want to hit real quick before we call it a night. Czech Republic, Peter Mrazek, Michael Neuwert, Andrei Pavlik. I'm going to give the nod to Nuvi. I think he had, I think he really played better than Mason in Philly, especially in the last couple games of the playoffs before the Caps eliminated them. I think he's a strong goalie. Mrazek, he's got the net now in Detroit. He's a strong goalie. Pavlik, not so much a strong goalie, but I'm going to Nuvi.
Yeah, I think this is a team that's going to have to try to win games 6-5. I'm not sold on their goaltending whatsoever. I mean, you know, again, Neuwirth, a guy that caught lightning in a bottle towards the end of, you know, during the Flyers, you know, stretch into the playoffs. Peter Mrazek was a guy that once he got the starting job in Detroit guys last year, I think it was back in around, it was right around President's Day weekend. His numbers were just, they plummeted. I mean, he was that star for the first couple months of the year. And then I think the wear and tear on his body got to him. So it'll be interesting to see what happens after a little bit of rest this summer, how he performs come World Cup time. And in the case of Andrei Pavlik, I mean, another guy that's just been Mr. Inconsistency. You know, look, again, with all three of these guys, they don't have to worry about playing an 82-game schedule. You know, it's a two-week schedule. So, you know, if Michael Neuwirth does anything similar to what he did down the stretch and into the first round against the Washington Capitals, then they've got a puncher's chance, but this is not a great roster.
Yeah, I agree with you. Let's wrap up with Finland. Tuukka Rask, Pekka Rinne, and KHL goalie Mikko Koskinen. I really think this might be Pekka's net. To me, he's always been the stronger goalie. I mean, Rask had some great defense in front of him a couple years ago, but you know, when that D hasn't been so good, Rask hasn't been so good lately. So I say a healthy Pekka Rinne takes the net here.
Well, and a guy like Pekka, I mean, this is a guy that can, you know, he can steal you a World Cup championship. I mean, the way he played last season, much better than, he's finally healthy. So I would say, again, it's his net to lose. The only question that you, when you look at this roster, I think the defense is somewhere between, I'd rate them somewhere between a 7 and an 8. There's definitely some question marks. You know, Sami Vatanen, I think, will lead this group along with Olli Maatta and Rasmus Ristolainen. I mean, it's a young group back there. So it'll be interesting to see how they perform and having to carry that workload on the back end.
Yeah, I think you're spot on about that. I mean, it is not the most veteran group with Jokke Pekka and Ville Pekka and even Ristolainen. I mean, he's come along a great way for Buffalo, but you know, they also have a very young forward core. You know, Patrick Laine is going to play. I can't wait to see him in action. They've got Tara Vinen. They've got a bunch of young forwards, and they're the all name team. I love the Finns because just listening to someone calling a game where the Finns are playing, it's just phenomenal names. Jonas Donskoi, Jussi Jokinen, Jokke Pekka is the greatest name in hockey right now. I think between him and – I want to see a fight between Jokke Pekka and Mika Zibanejad. That would be the greatest fight ever. All right, Craig, you wrap up. Who wins the World Cup?
Canada.
JD.
Yeah, I'm going to go with my home country. I'll go with Canada.
All right, I'm up in the air right now. I'm not going to vote because I made an ass of myself talking about Russia last week.
Come on.
No, right.
I put Russia and Canada in the final.
I'm saying Sweden and Canada right now. I'm not going to make a vote. I've totally come off of the Russia tip. JD scared the crap out of me last week, and I deserved it. He pulled my jersey over my head and beat the crap out of me. Real quick, we got 2 minutes. Let's talk Jimmy Vesey for 2 minutes. The sweepstakes is over. He's a New York Ranger now. The Predators cry. The Sabres cry. The Blackhawks are crying. And even the Boston Bruins were supposedly knee deep in the equation, but he's a New York Ranger. JD, go.
Yeah, I give credit to the Rangers and the sell job that they did to bring him in. This is like college recruiting at its finest here with the job that the management team did in securing Vesey. I still think that Buffalo would have been a better fit for him. Had a chance to grow. I'm not sold on the Rangers. I still think, you know, I think there's more questions than answers in New York. But you know, look, I think that team's window than a team like Buffalo that's on the going on the upside. So that's kind of where my feelings are with Vesey.
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure he gets that top six role he was looking for. I'm not so sure he gets the ice time he was really looking for. I think you're right. He could have done better in Buffalo. He could have played more in Buffalo. I actually think he could have played more in Boston, too. I just think the stage in New York.
Yeah, but I think I'd still rather go to Buffalo than Boston right now. I think.
I think you're right. I mean, I think I would, if I were in his shoes, I'd rather play for the Buffalo Sabres and grow something there than, you know, be on the downside of things in Boston. But I think what Jimmy Vesey wanted was a top six role. He wanted a max cap incentive laden entry level deal. And while he got the entry level deal he wanted, I don't think he gets the minutes.
Yeah. The only other thing that bothered me with the Vesey signing was just something Vesey made a reference, albeit small, to the nightlife of New York City. And that was something that attracted him signing with the Rangers. He didn't expand and make it a big deal, but he did bring it up, and it was something that I just don't want to see from an athlete, especially a guy who hasn't stepped on NHL ice yet, talking about one of the reasons that led to his signing in New York was some of the social aspects of what New York City had to offer.
Well, I think one of the parts of the pitch was Johnny Manziel saying he'd buy him his first round. Well, there you go. No laugh from JD there. There's a laugh. There's All a right. smile. All right. So that's our Puckspin two guys, one puck chat for Monday, the 22nd of August. JD, thanks for coming on. We'll see you soon and have you along for many more episodes. And Craig, final words?
No, Scott, where can we find you on the internet? What's your address?
At puckspin.com. We have a Facebook page.
No, nah, we're talking about you. We want to find you.
Me. I'm netminder71 on Twitter. You can find me on Puckspin, find my blog. You can find Craig Lukey there too. You can find us on Facebook, on our Puckspin Facebook page, our new YouTube live channel, and always on our home, puckspin.com. Thanks.
And JD, where can we find you on the internet?
You can find me at West Coast Hockey, and hockey spelled HKY. I couldn't afford the other letters.
Well, hopefully now you can.
You're a big broadcaster. You can afford that stuff.
All right, guys. All right, guys.
All right, great. Pleasure. Thank you, everybody. Thanks, see you Thank again you, next Craig. Week, next Monday, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific. See you next week.